to feel a beat in three-peat like Jordan got wings.
Hi, everyone. I want to thank you for coming to AMS Elections, The Great Debate. We're live streaming with CITR from Irving K. Barber Leolette Room. The schedule for today's debate is at 6:03, we're going to start with the Board of Governors, and then at 6:30, we're doing UBC Senate, and then 7 o'clock, we're doing VP Administration, 7:20, we're doing VP External, 7:30, we're doing VP Finance, at 7:45, we're doing VP Academic, at 8 o'clock, we're going to be doing President, and then at 8:20, we're going to be doing closing remarks. My name is Jenny Chen. I'm the Elections Administrator for the AMS this year, and I want to thank you so much all for coming, and for those of you listening at home, everybody can follow this debate at AMS Elections. We'll be live tweeting. Also, the hashtag for this debate will be AMSDB8. I want to introduce our moderator for tonight's evening, Neil Yongson. He is the former editor of UBC Insiders. Please welcome me, Neil.
Thank you, Jenny. Can we get the Board of Governors candidates up to the stage, please? I'll be hosting the debate tonight alongside Sumedha Sharma, who is a two-year veteran outgoing member of the Board of Governors to help us grill the candidates tonight. Your candidates tonight are Connie Lin, Tristan Miller, Harsev Oshan, Matt Parson, and Aaron Rennie. Mike Soleil could not be here tonight. So we'll give each of you about 30 seconds, starting from my left, to introduce yourselves and let us know what platform you're running on and why you're the best board rep.
It's a lot of 30 seconds. Hi, everyone. My name is Tristan. I'm running for Board of Governors. I've had a lot of experience here at UBC, both inside and outside of student government and the university. I'm passionate about a couple of things, specifically student housing on campus and student housing action plan, along with operationalizing sustainability in building sustainable communities, which includes affordability and the social side of sustainability. Also continuing my work on the UBC Sustainability Steering Committee in mobilizing sustainability as an academic subject in teaching and learning modules. I have experience. I work well with the administration. I still have relationships there that I can continue to build on, and I'd appreciate your consideration in the election.
Hi, my name is Connie. I am the doctoral student in neuroscience and currently the president for Graduate Student Society. It's the second largest society on campus, representing 10,000 constituents. In this role, I talk to the university administration alongside with AMS. Also, I'm also a AMS counselor. And why should you vote for me? Because I know how to negotiate with the administration, not only that. And also, even though right now I'm a doctoral student, I'm in the UBC for 10 years. I did my undergrad here, I did my master's here, and PhD here. So I could represent all spectrum of students, so I appreciate your vote.
Thank you,
My name is Harsev Oshan, and I'm currently the president of the Arts and Graduate Society, the largest student society on campus. And the reason why I'm running for this position is because I feel like there's a huge disconnect between the Board of Governors reps and the student population. While trying to get the Faculty of Arts and the UBC administration support to build the new Arts Student Center, I realized that a lot of students do not know what's happening at the governance level. And looking at the track record of a lot of the Board of Governor representatives, they have done an excellent job with advocacy, but there's been very, very little done with consultations and communication with students, and that's what I'd like to work on. Thank you.
Thank you, Harsev. Now, Matt Parson.
So I've been at UBC for quite some time now, and throughout that time, I have a lot of relevant experience to the board, dating all the way back to being the Interfraternity Council president and trying to mitigate situations between that constituency and the University Neighborhood Association, all the way to being the Student Society President, working with the board representatives hand in hand, working with my executive, all really to one principle, which is to drive a lot of positive change for students. And I've been able to do that by being able to get agreements on how much funding we can have for childcare spaces within the new sub, to preserving the core of the heart of the campus, ensuring that non-student housing wasn't built on there, and that we were able to preserve that as a student-centric place.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Erin Rennie. I'm a graduate student here. I'm studying community development at the School of Community and Regional Planning. And you may remember me from my 2008 run for president. I am back again to fight the war on fun. I have three platform points. The first one is student-oriented campus development. I have a lot of concern about the way campus develops and the kind of impacts it has on our culture here, especially student culture. Second thing is about sustainability, and I'll talk about my third point in the next questions. Thank you.
All right, and now we'll start with questions. Since there's five candidates, please try to keep your answers as brief as you can. Samita.
Hi there. I'm happy to see the great caliber of candidates and diverse set of candidates we have for this year's election, so congratulations to you all for choosing to run. My first question to, I guess, to see how you cope with conflict is, how would you cope up with the situation at the board level where your opinion is outweighed and you are outnumbered, largely, and if it's not in the presence of everyone, so if it's in camera, how do you plan to deal with the situation? So start with Tristan, I guess.
Okay. Well, if I'm understanding the question correctly, there are a number of ways you could go about doing that. Whether or not you would see results, I mean, if the board is, if you're being outvoted on a matter of principle or whatever, then it would be, it could be difficult for you to move those people. So I'm not sure. Not sure if I accept the premise of the question, but I think the best thing you can do is represent your opinions articulately, back them up with evidence, back them up with support from students, you know, making sure that you're making the connections with the AMS so that, you know, they have written submissions, so you have evidence to bring to the board to convince the other members of the board. Ultimately, you are one of, you know, many board members. You're going to disagree. You're going to lose, you know, some of the battles that you fight. But I think, again, being respectful, articulate, and backing it up with evidence is going to help you get a long way and earn the respect later on down the road with the members of the board.
Hi, so this situation happens a lot in council, in AMS council and GSS council. So usually before you know the conflict, you know in ahead of the time this kind of conflict is going to happen. So you will try to resolve it in the committee level, trying to get your evidence, everything conveyed to the stakeholders or the voting members at the committee level first. If that cannot be resolved, of course, you need to talk to students, prepare actions after that, prepare when you're actually at the board level, you're outnumbered, and that's in camera. Usually what I found that works when I talk to the UBC administration is say, hey, do you still remember that the consumer of university is students? Do you want to hear us out? Usually that silences them a little bit. They do focus and pay attention to it. And some of the board members would actually wake up and say, okay, should we consider those? There are several other strategies. If, well, we are really outnumbered and the students' benefit cannot be have to be outweighed with, say, for example, financial restraint, we got to understand and convey that to the student. Oh, in camera, I cannot do that. Okay, thank you.
In such a situation, when, just like in the AMS, when the agenda is sent out, you're supposed to do your research on the issue, go and try, like, do your research, go out there, ask students what they think about the issue. Of course, you're not going to discuss what the AMS, the council's opinion is on, but you're going to take the opinions from students. At the end of the day, you're representatives of students, and that's the one thing that we have to take to the board level. You have to take the voice of students, consult with students, go there, represent their voice, and always have a positive attitude and positive sort of voice towards the kinds of direction you want to take. I find being positive in negotiations is really helpful, and the other person is usually open to listening to what you're saying. Thank you.
Matt?
I think it'd be very easy for me to say I've been on AMS Council for the past 2 years, and I've been able to, which is saying a lot more than most counselors or executives, being kind of not conflict-free, but controversy-free, because I can see both sides. But I won't, because I think that the analogy between AMS Council and the Board of Governors is a terrible one. I think it's a completely different ballgame. These people are playing by different rules, and you need to know how to operate under those different rules. The university really operates in a different language, and you need to know how to speak that language. So when you're negotiating your leverage, you know, Susie and John down the street don't think that this is a good idea, isn't going to go very far. But if you can really put that in terms of, well, the prestige of the university, or in financial terms, this might take a hit on the university, you're going to have a lot more success in swaying people's votes and hopefully winning your side. I guess the second point I would bring up is that if it's already a conflict at the board floor, you've failed as a student representative, because it should never be, the battles aren't won there. It's influencing the people before you even get to the board floor.
Thank you, Matt. Erin?
Okay, so how do you cope with conflict with the other board members? Stress as strongly and as articulately as you possibly can. And I think, as the last speaker said, if it gets to the point where at the table it's already a conflict, you haven't done your job. But at the end of the day, we have lots of strategies that we can employ. We can be persuasive. We can use negotiation tactics. I think it's very important to be respectful and confident at the same time. One of the bloggers actually said to me, "Oh, Erin, are you sure you want to run for BOG? I mean, there's 12, 11 other fancy business people who are really intimidating." And I said, "They're just people." I spent the last 4 years working for the Legislative Assembly of BC, and I was also very nervous to be working with all of these politicians and cabinet ministers, but after a while you learn that they're just people like you, and they're vulnerable like you, and they have the same interests. We all want to have a better UBC. So if you can show these other decision makers that our interests are shared, we'll all be better off in the long run. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to have to keep answers a bit shorter, but speaking of the provincial legislature, there's a provincial election this spring, and it seems likely that there will be a change in power to the BCNDP. Given that 11 of 21 board members are provincially appointed, how will you take advantage of the situation if it happens that a large chunk of the appointed members are installed as new people? So the new government comes in, basically removes a half dozen of the appointed members and installs their own people. How will you make the most of this upheaval? Let's start with Connie.
So from my experience, I just came out of a meeting with the Minister of Advanced Education yesterday. Getting that meeting is really not easy. We have to jump through a lot of hoops. We have to get a lot of connections. And Board of Governors is the perfect way to establish a good relationship with all those people who has decision power in the province. When you chit-chat, make sure that you talk to them about what the student wants, for example, the transportation, for example, the student loan, the student aid. And also, with that, I have experience with federal lobbying. I was in Ottawa twice this November lobbying not just for the graduate student but also the undergraduate student about student loan programs, that there are several policies that's not very reasonable. The MPs are already receptive. So with that said, I do have experience to be able to build a relationship with the board members who has decision power with the province. So I think, thank you.
Okay, Harsef?
I think with such a situation, it'd be more like what Erin just said, all these people who are sitting on the board are there to ensure that we all have a better UBC. Everyone has one vision, and you're all there to work towards one goal. As a representative, as a student representative, my job would be to go there and voice the opinions of what students want and try to fight for what they want. And doing your research in time and going there and actually talking about it and trying to make sure that students' voices are heard. Like I said, I have very, very little institutional knowledge on the Board of Governors, but being a representative, I feel like that would be representing the voice of students is the main thing that you need to do when you go there, no matter what turnover you have.
Okay, Matt?
This was actually one area that I was particularly interested by, because obviously if the new government does come in and decide that they would like to do a clean house, they do have the power to do that. But after speaking with several administrators and from various different departments across UBC, they sort of took a sort of a thumb in the air type of estimate and said that probably is not going to happen. But regardless, in the hypothetical, what my approach would be beyond just obviously the same things of trying to frame their view of looking at the university and painting the picture of how UBC can really benefit not just the community surrounding it, but also the province as a whole, I would get into the specifics of how a university degree really is on par with various other skill-based learnings. That's sort of, I'd say, the conversation that's happening at the provincial level right now. Universities, particularly UBC, is viewed as this institution that has massive bags of money and that they can find efficiencies for decades after decades, where there's quite a lot of funding going into skill-based learning, and we need to shift ourselves into being perceived that way because most of the issues that we have between UBC and the province, just like most things, come down to dollars.
How'd you deal with this, Rennie? Or Erin Rennie?
That's okay. Lots of people call me Rennie. Okay, so what do you do if there's a provincial election and it doesn't go one way or another? I'm not going to make any predictions about how this election is going to go, but I think either way, the fundamentals to me is whichever one of us gets in, we have to remember that we need to build a strong working relationship without getting co-opted by whatever interests those board members represent, whatever government they are, you know, they've been appointed by. So that's going to be the really tricky part about a board member, part of the board member's tasks in the upcoming session. So I think we also need to remember that agencies like UBC need to be politically neutral because you have to work with whatever government you have. And we need to remember that UBC is going to be here long after whatever government comes next and comes after that and comes after that. We need to be thinking about the students 20, 40 years in the future. And so we can't be worrying about playing petty politics right now. It's about being politically neutral, but also politically astute. And I think that I have those things and I can bring those to the table.
And let's hear from Tristan.
I would echo what Erin just said to a certain extent. I mean, well, we're all fairly reasonably on the same playing field here. I think we're all pretty much saying the same thing in slightly different ways. But it's important that, again, building strong relationships, if the case were, and I would be skeptical that they would replace all of their appointees, but if the case happened, building that relationship is important. And I mean, that's generally how I work, is building a personal relationship with the people that I work with that then allows you to disagree with them but maintain that respect. And I think, I mean, I've worked with Matt and over the course of the years, and I'd call him a friend, and we adamantly disagree on many issues, and yet we still, you know, we still have a rational, reasonable conversation about it. And to me, that's what's most important, is building the relationships at the beginning. Yeah, you can try and shape the way they're going to view UBC, but ultimately they're going to, you know, come to their own conclusions from all the people that they're talking to the university administrators who are going to be doing the same thing. So you know, that's relationship building. It's probably the most important.
All right. Thank you. So very quick question and quick answers. Starting with Harsev, what will you do at the annual tuition vote if you're on board, assuming that it's the same as always, kind of an inflationary 2% increase? How would you react to that at board? UBC raises tuition annually, and it's been about 2% every year. So if we assume that UBC plans to raise 2% again, tuition 2% again in the next year, how will you react when that comes up for board approval if you are on the board?
I guess before the time comes to voting, I'd have to do my research on the statistics and based on that, see if it's actually a good number to raise it by or not, and do some consultations with students and see what they feel, and sort of go to the board having the voice of students and representing it.
In the interest of shorter answers, why don't you just say, I'll go around and say how you would actually vote on a 2% tuition increase this year. Yeah, how would you vote?
Yes.
Matt? Seeing as I wrote the AMS tuition policy on this, and it's in line with that, I'd say yay.
Aaron?
Can I qualify my answer?
You can try.
So,
don't take too long, please.
The inflation rate last year was 1.58%. So I think that's how high tuition should go up every year. It should be the same as the cost of educating us goes.
Tristan?
I would echo that response. I think it depends on the budget that's presented to us, but, you know, so.
Okay, and Connie?
Both AMS and GSS have passed our council position. We support the 2% increase. That's because of after years of consultation of university with us. And if I don't vote yes this time, guess what? A few years way back, maybe 5-6 years ago, the tuition has increased by a large amount because university is really needing that money, or else our education is going to be sacrificed. So I'll vote yes.
Is there any chance for rebuttals throughout this debate?
Not right now. There's only 5 minutes left. We'll move on to the next question.
The next question is about the Bridge to UBC program. I'm wondering how you guys feel about that, and do you support it? Yeah, thanks, starting from Matt.
I think that the Bridge to UBC program provides UBC with a very interesting testing ground for a lot of different initiatives. So just for the people that are here that might not know what that means, it's a new program that would be effectively a first-year program for people that are coming to UBC from international schools that didn't necessarily offer an IB program. And what UBC is doing is they're offering them the chance to come here with the same high standards of academics, but a greater easement on the language proficiency component of that. What's quite interesting about this is that it, A, provides UBC with an alternate revenue stream, as they're definitely going to charge these students quite a lot to come here. But the very, very interesting thing about UBC students outside of that is that this is going to be a testing ground for pedagogy. So what they now have is an area where they can implement alternate ways of examining students, different ways of scheduling exams, classroom environments, online versus classroom split learning. And this is something that we currently don't have, where now we can see, A, an alternate revenue stream to UBC, so we can keep tuition constant or low, but B, also benefit from the potential new pedagogical learnings to come from that. So I think it's exciting, but there's a lot of administrative things that are associated with this quagmire.
Okay, so my take on Bridge to UBC is it's the kind of program that could be awesome, and it's the kind of program that could be a disaster. So my take on this is that I'd be willing to support an experimentation phase as long as it's not taking too much money out of our operating budget, or a capital budget for that matter, to set up this program, and then with the potentiality of finding out that it was a complete disaster and it's degrading the UBC brand. So I think we need to be very, very cautious going forward and start out this program very small. But on the balance, I would support an experimentation phase, yeah.
All right, thank you. Tristan?
Again, I'd echo what the last two have said. I think the devil's in the details. So there's a lot of potential there. They've come and presented to us, to me. I've been part of groups that's seen some of the details on how it's moving forward. But they're slated to open in, I think, 2014 is when they're slated to begin accepting students. But there's still curriculum, and I don't even think they have a principal yet, that need, you know, things need to happen before they actually begin educating students. Because I think the, you know, what we really need to be cautious about is, yes, there's a fantastic opportunity here, but the students that are enrolled in this program, so as much as we want this to be sort of a testing ground, we also want to make sure that the students that are in this testing ground are getting a good education for the money that they're spending, because we need to make sure that it's fair to them if the university is driving revenue through this operation.
Connie?
Yeah, you guys, thanks, Matt, for the great introduction as well. From hearing about the Bridge program, in principle, I support it, mainly because of the financial reasons, and also it's a great program for the stepping ground for the student coming in. But also, again, I echo your point that the details. I haven't seen enough to say that the program will work or not. In principle, I support. However, I think the student involvement in looking into how this program is developed, being a student and knowing how I was part of the program, that's the first year in implementation, and there's a lot of problem, and guess who suffers? The students. And being a student experiencing that, we can offer a lot of feedback so the same mistake wouldn't happen.
Thank you, Connie. Harsev?
As an international student, when I came here from Kenya, the only reason I could come to Canada to study was because I won a scholarship to come here. Now, the Bridge program, the idea of the Bridge program is fantastic. It's a really good idea, but a lot, like all the other candidates have said, a lot of the logistics haven't been figured out yet. It's a really amazing idea. I was fortunate enough to move from a government school to an international school, and that's how I got to know more about UBC. Otherwise, I mean, like, the Bridge program, if it's planning to what I think it is, trying to reach out to other schools and bring them here, I think the financial aspect really needs to be taken into consideration. The cost of living in Vancouver is not cheap, and I'd say there's a lot of things that need to be figured out. I like the idea. It's a really, really good idea, and I think it's really going to enrich the student life experience here, but administration-wise, they need to sort of show some more details.
Okay. Yeah. That's it for time for our board debate, unfortunately. So thank you for all the candidates for coming up here. Let's give them a round of applause. And can we get the Senate candidates up here, please?
I was just going to say 1.58% CPI rate. There's a higher education index that's
This is the Great Debate, an all-candidates debate for AMS elections being broadcast live on CITR 101.9. We are in room 301 of the Irving K. Barber Learning Center. I'm the debate moderator, Neil Janssen. For more information about voting, candidates, and the five referenda question on the ballot this year, go to ams.ubc.ca/elections. You can follow along on Twitter at the handle @AMSElections or with the AMS Elections hashtag.